Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled.
Welcome to Schooled with the Professor.
Sean Clayton.
Boy, I tell you, it's kind of sad when you see great players that no longer are going to stay in the game. And I tell you, one of the greatest return guys in the history of the game is Devin Hester, and he joins us on Schooled with the Professor. But Devin, before we get back into your great career with the 19 returns for touchdowns on and that, what I want to get into more than anything else is what's going on in the National Football League. On May 1st and May 2nd, there's going to be an NFL summit. And one of the things that they're discussing and maybe leaning to do is eliminate kickoff returns. Devin, the impact of the game, because again, you brought so much excitement, Hall of Fame type excitement with returns. What's the NFL going to be like without kickoff returns?
My first question is, what's the purpose of it? You know, are they trying to eliminate injuries? I guess that could be the reason why, but game without kickoff return, you know, it's like one of the most exciting plays during a game when you get not even a touchdown, but a big return to set up a field goal that could win the game. I mean, that's like telling guys on offense you can't go deep. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, the idea is that they still see, even though they've cut down on the number of kickoff returns with the spotting of the ball at the 35-yard line and increased number of touchbacks, but they still say the concussion level is still higher than any other play. But also, again, just like you bring up very adaptively, is that, hey, you can't prevent injuries in the National Football League. Football is a physical game. You can try to minimize it, but you can't prevent it.
Right. I think you can minimize. I mean, to be honest, I don't think kickoff returns is what's causing where the majority of the concussions is, because as a former returner, I don't even remember getting hit hard on kickoff or punt return. My hardest hit came from offense. So when you sit there and for a guy like me that did it my whole life, my hardest hit came on offense. On defense, trying to go up and make a tackle. I never really can recall getting hit hard while I was dazed or anything on kickoff or punt return. So for a returner like myself that did it my whole life, I disagree with the voting that they have with that situation.
Now, you came into the National Football League in 2006. You had 4 kickoff returns for touchdowns in your first 2 years. And obviously, that's how you got really started and then morphed your way into good roles as a wide receiver. If you were coming into the league in 2019, would you worry that you might not be able to get a chance? Because, again, the kickoffs were so important for you to kind of get started and establishing yourself. What would happen to Devin Hester in a 2019 with no kickoff returns?
That's a big question, you know, and it comes down to, you know, whether or not they're going to get rid of, because at the end of the day, you can have the best mechanic building a Ford car, but now that they're coming up with all this machinery, now you never know who that mechanic could be. You know, or that car builder could be, because in these cars dealerships, now they have machines build a car. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like you're really taking jobs away from guys that been doing it their whole life and is good at it.
Well, and the other thing it does, it affects the kickers, because now the kickers aren't going to be doing the kickoffs. And, I mean, you've watched it through the years where, you come in and you have the regular guy that does the field goals. The kicker does that, or then eventually maybe it's the punter that does that. But now there's not going to be any kickoffs. I mean, really, all you have now is the kickers out there just kicking extra points from the 15 and field goals. It affects them too.
Right, and I got another question. So what happens when a team scores and they're down 3 points with 30 seconds left in the game? Will they allow them to kick onside kicks? So that eliminates onside kicks then.
Pretty much, yeah.
So in fact,
one of the things they were doing at the owners' meeting when they brought this up was talking about the idea, if you do need an onside kick, you basically have to tell the team it's going to be an onside kick so they can at least be ready for it, which, of course, takes that element of surprise out and probably eliminates any chance of success for an onside kick. That's why, you know, you look at this and you say, okay, you're really taking a lot out of the game.
Right. So my question is, okay, now that I'm thinking about it, they're taking off kickoff returns, right? So when the team scores, they're just going to put the team on the 20-yard line, out of 25-yard, however that goes,
mm-hmm,
and then play from there?
Yeah, put it on the 25.
So how could you come to the conclusion to say, well, let us try to kick an onside kick and bring the kickoff unit out there? Like, I don't see how that's going to play a factor in the game, though. Like, if you every time a team scores, you put them at 25-yard, 20-yard line, but now you need the ball, but you say, wait. Could we put, instead of putting them at 25 yards, could we try to do an onside kick to try to get the ball back?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's going to be a weird situation in the game. Like, if you're taking away kickoff returns.
Right. Oh, no, like, no question. Yeah, that's what's so weird about the way that they're going to. And again, they're going to have the 2-day summit, May 1st and May 2nd, in New York City to discuss it. But, I mean, right. You kind of get the idea that their minds are starting to be made up. As long as those numbers on concussions stay to whatever it is for all the players on kickoffs and the coverage and that, then, you know, they're probably going in that direction. And you just think about the excitement that's going to be missing from the game of football.
Right, and I mean, I wonder how they come up with the count of how many players get concussions, like, on kickoff return. Like I really want to see the numbers of when you come off the field on kickoff return as a kickoff unit coverage, a coverage unit, as well as a return unit. Who comes out with the concussion, and how do they keep count of that? Just with, because at the end of the day, I feel the majority of the concussion comes on offense and defense.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, now you're taking away jobs for guys that play special teams. What about the kickoff unit? You got the L1, the L2, the guys that played 10, 11 years as a kickoff unit cover guy, and, you know, a corner, a block on punt return. I mean, sorry, not punt return, but a great block on kickoff return. You eliminate those guys as well.
You're right. I mean, those guys that become just good special teams players, you know, they lose it. I know Matt Slater, who's one of the best, maybe, you know, at least in this generation for the New England Patriots. I mean, he just shakes his head at that idea because, again, you know, it's like you're really affecting a lot of different jobs and a lot of different opportunities and a lot of opportunities to guide to grow. Call the local mortgage company who cares, Keel Mortgage. With timeless values and timely advice, Keel Mortgage has the longevity and experience to make all of your home purchase dreams come true. 888-778-KIEL or keelmortgage.com, CL53969. Take us through the 11 years of your returns and just how the game how they try to change the game, because remember they took away the wedge, trying to eliminate
right.
that. They felt that was a little bit too physical. Take us through the 11 years of you're sitting back there, you're at the goal line, you're waiting for the kickoff, and how the game changed with some of the rules and how that affected you.
It affected me a whole lot because then it really played in the opponent's hands, because after my first year, they already didn't want to kick to me. Now you said you're taking away the wedge. Then after you take away the wedge, you move and kickoff. For the kicker team to really just kick out of bounds, you know, kick it deep in the end zone. It was a no-brainer for that situation. Now I really struggled trying to kick it in the end zone. And then you move it up, you know, an extra 10 yards or whatever it may be. Now it's like, it's so easy. I mean, kickers not kicking field goals on kickoff return. I mean, it's really taking away the game. I mean, the way it's looking now, in maybe 5-10 years, guys will be playing without helmets and no shoulder pad. It would be flagged.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they're trying to test. That's what it looked like the NFL is going into.
Yeah, I mean, for safety, and obviously safety is a big issue, but then if you take away too much from the game, then the game suffers. When because again, you were so good at doing this, when you sat in your special teams meetings and the special teams coach got up there and it was talking about field position, and again, you being one of the greatest, if not the greatest ever, what did you usually figure that you would be able to give the offense the ball with your returns on the average?
My mentality and our mentality as special team and while we were in the meetings was, if we can have our special team kickoff return game so good that to put points on the board, all we need is one first down. And that was our mentality. If we can be so dominant on this return game, then we will let our offense have a easy chance. All they need is one first down, and now we're in field goal range.
So that would be what, toward the 50-yard line, if you could get the ball to the 50 or the opponent's 45?
Right, exactly. It was getting us in field goal range. All we need is one or two first downs, and we're automatically guaranteed 3 points, especially with the kicker we had. We had a great kicker, Robbie Gold. So he was like, D, you know, if you can get me to the 45-yard, at least the 40-yard line, you know, with the one first down, you know, I'm good as gold. And that was our mentality. And that's why we were so good in Chicago, because we had a great defense. And our return game was so strong that it picked up the weight of any help that the offense needs to put points on the board.
Yeah, and that's what was so so great about it, because you're right. That's what I was going to bring up, the idea on the defense, because the defense wasn't going to allow too much, and here you are getting great field position for the offense, setting up the quarterback just to, you know, get that first down or two, get at least a field goal. And, you know, it's like through your career, I mean, you've had years where you've had 5 40-yard returns, did that a couple times. I mean, I love the 1 year, 2013, even though that game wasn't with the great Bears defense, you had 43 returns 20 yards or more, but, you know, you were consistently, I mean, it's like if you were a Bear offensive quarterback, you didn't have to worry about getting the ball between the 20 and 25. You were going to get it way past that.
Exactly, man. And the way our return game was, we knew that as a whole unit, as a team, that, listen, if these guys kicked us, we are in good field position. And that was pretty much guaranteed coming from our return game.
What made you such a great returner?
It's not only me. It was the group of guys I was around. You know the vision, the speed, to have the ability to set up blocks. But at the end of the day, you know, Coach Dave told one of the best special team coach I ever been around, scheme and studied our opponents like day and night, and made it so much easier for us, you know, as a unit to go out there and pick the weak link and to minimize the best person on the opponent's team. To minimize him from making plays, and we just went out there and played, and we had so much confidence.
No doubt. But, of course, I mean, when you first came into the league, I'm sure a lot of it just had to be athletic ability and instincts because, again, you're breaking 96, 97-yard returns. I mean, 4 big returns in your rookie season. I mean, was it that you immediately were able to get the study down to know what to do? Because, again, when was that transition, or did you just come in, you just kind of knew how to follow this?
Right. It was the unit we had, but of course the opportunities. You know, didn't nobody really know of me coming into the league besides some of the returns I had in Miami. So the opportunity was there. The kicks right down the middle of the field, kicking at the 4 or 5 yard line on kickoff return. The opportunity was given to me, and when they realized how dangerous our special team was, now they start blooping punts. You know, my second year, they start blooping them, kicking them towards the sideline, pinning me in the sideline, kicking it out of bounds. On kickoff return, they squibbing them, you know, kicking them out of bounds. And that what really hurt my return career towards the end of, you know, after my first 2 years, because teams realized how dangerous we were on a special team. And so the opportunity was cut more than half.
How much fun is it to take a ball at the goal line, now, or at the 2-3 yard line, and just kind of weave through the field like that? What kind of feeling is that?
It's amazing feeling when you have a great special team coach as well as teammates to make the job easy, and all you have to do is make 1 or 2 guys miss, and at the end of the day, knowing that you were probably the fastest one out there on the field at that time.
Hey, as you watch the game now, what kickoff return guys do you really respect?
I like Ty Hill. I think he's in a situation again. Once again, he's with Dave Toll. And when I say Dave Toll, he's the best team coach I ever played with or ever heard of. He's with Dave Toll, and Dave Toll is really doing a great job with him. And at the end of the day, this kid is blazing fast. So that makes it even easier for the returns to pop every time he touches the ball.
So what happens now next for Devin Hester? Now that you've retired, what are you going to do?
The first 2-3 years, man, I'm just playing makeup with the family. You know, I miss, you know, my whole life, all I knew was football. All season and season, the breaks we had before OTA, I constantly grind and made sure that I was up in top shape before we got OTA. So I really didn't get a chance to spend much time with my family. My mom would always ask me when I'm coming home. I would go in for about 1 or 2 days and I'm gone. You know, the dedication that I put in football, you know, it was year round for me. And now I'm married, I have 3 kids, 3 boys, man, it's like, man, I really, really got to focus on my family. So my first two, three years, I'm family, man. I'm not doing anything but spending time with the family.
Well, I know the one thing I'm not going to do, I'm not going to get the family mad at me, because I know you got to get back to them. Devin Hester, congratulations on a great career. Best of luck after football, and we sure enjoyed watching those returns.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.